This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is All Saints Sunday, a long-standing tradition in this congregation and in the Christian faith where we remember and name the names and celebrate the lives and witness of the members of this faith community who have died this past year. And so it is a privilege to be with you this morning and to remember our saints from the past year. As we gather this morning, I would invite all of you to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, you can follow the link that's up on your screens. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the end of each row, and hopefully they're making their way down the row and back again. And if you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and how we're trying to live out God's love in this world, sign in with your email address or mailing address, and that'll give us a chance to reach out and begin that conversation with you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. We remember our youth in our prayers today. They have been on retreat this weekend and had perfect weather for it, and I know they've had a wonderful time and a great experience growing closer to God and to one another. So please keep them in your prayers. If you are a college student, we want to let you know that after the 11 o'clock service on the first Sunday of every month, there is college lunch, and it's on the church. So if you're in this service and want to come back at noon, they'll be gathering out in the narthex just outside the sanctuary to head to lunch together. Many of you know that our task force for reopening met this past week, and we are very encouraged by the dropping numbers of COVID cases in our community and by the fact that children will be able to be vaccinated starting this week. So our plan is to keep monitoring the numbers throughout November, to keep our current practices of masking in worship, and as we have been, but we have great hopes for the coming weeks. So pay close attention and be on the lookout for, we hope, what will be good news and a different sort of Advent this year. Things are moving forward. We are so excited about life at West End. We broke our attendance records for the first time since March of 2020 in both services last week. So if you know folks who are a little hesitant to come back, we hope that you'll encourage them if their health allows them, because we're doing wonderful things here at West End, both online and in person. But we'd love to see more folks coming back in person, those who are able. As we celebrate the lives of our saints in this community, we gather at the table this morning. Our communion liturgy on All Saints is a little bit different. The music is a little bit different, so I want to give you that heads up as we head into the service. We also will be moving back toward a little more normal communion practices. I'll say more about that once we are in the liturgy itself, but we'll have an opportunity to come forward and kneel at the altar this morning if we choose to do that. With all of these things to celebrate and remember, let us worship our God, the God of the saints and the God of each and every one of us as we gather in this time.
Oh, my God. day we remember the great cloud of witnesses. Those who served others with courage and sacrifice.
Those whose names are written on our hearts.
Let us give thanks for the saints of God.
Let us worship God with eternal love and eternal life.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, we will exchange safe signs of reconciliation and love, fist bumps, elbow bumps, bows, waves, peace signs. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all of our children who are with us this morning to come forward, or if you're worshiping from home, to move a little closer to your screens. And I'm going to stay standing, but would love for you all to come and gather just right here so we can talk about what all this is up here. Yay, come on up and have a seat. Actually, maybe I can sit down on this step. That's better. Now, if I can get back up again, that'll be something to see, won't it? Welcome, everybody. Come on down. Well, today is a really special day in the church. It's called All Saints Sunday. Now, how many of you know what Halloween is? Raise your hand if you know what Halloween is. Yeah, we know what Halloween is. We go trick-or-treating. Yeah, that was last Sunday, wasn't it? Well, actually, Halloween, the word Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve, and it's the night before All Saints Day. And All Saints Day has been a long and important tradition in the church. And what we do on All Saints Day is we remember all the members of our church who've passed away this past year. And we call out their names. And we remember stories about them. And we thank God for them. And we light a candle for each one. Now, if you look at the bulletin cover this morning, there are all the names of our church members who've... That's right. And you know someone who's died and now they're in heaven. And we are going to name all the people who are in heaven now from our church. And we want to thank God for them because we love them and God loves them. And it's really a joyful day today because we're giving thanks for their lives. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for all the people we know and love who have died in this past year. And even though we're sad and we miss them, we also thank you and are grateful for the love that we knew through them. Help us to be saints. Help us to do what we can to share your love with the world and to shine your light with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie out that door to Children's Chapel. You're 4 and a half. Well, you get to go to Children's Chapel then. If you're 6, you can go back and sit with your parents or friends. 4, you get to go with Pastor Maggie. Surprise! For those of you who might be worshiping with us for the first time, I usually stand down there and preach. But for some reason, on All Saints Sunday, I feel drawn to the pulpit. This is where I stand when I help officiate at a memorial service. And one of our saints whom we celebrate this morning was Bill Gray. And he really wanted me to preach from the pulpit. I remember when I first started here, I got a text from Bill saying, "The wonderful sermon." Next text, "It would have been better from the pulpit." So here I am, Bill, and here I am, all of our saints this morning. On this All Saints Sunday, we are invited by the Gospel of Mark to join Jesus and his disciples in the temple. In this portion of Mark's Gospel, Jesus has been in the temple for a while now. He's been teaching and preaching and establishing his authority and his place in the temple. But on this particular day, he is sitting in the treasury with his disciples, just watching what's happening. Now, to set the scene a little bit, the treasury, probably the place where this happened, was part of the women's court, and there were 13 receptacles to receive people's offerings. They were sort of trumpet-shaped. And so when people came through and dropped in their coins, it would have all been coins in those days, it made quite a noise. The more coins you put in, the more noise you made. Clang, 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 clang. Ching, 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 ching. And so it was a happy sound, a sound of people worshiping God and bringing their offerings. And I imagine it was a little bit chaotic on that day when Jesus was there with his disciples. But as they watched the goings on in the treasury, Jesus took a moment and pointed out one woman making her offering. Mark tells us that she was a poor woman, a poor widow, one of the neediest people in Jewish society at that point. And she comes in the mix of the chaos and the noise, and she drops into the receptacles two little bitty copper coins, the smallest coins there were in that society. And you can imagine with the clang and clatter of all the other coins being shared and dropped, hers made no noise at all. Nobody noticed except Jesus. And he pointed her out to his disciples and said, "Look at her. See her. The gift she brings is more generous than the other gifts of all the others that we see." And so one question I have as I read this story is, what is it that Jesus wants them to notice? What's the point that he's trying to make? On the one hand, he could be simply pointing to the great, extravagant generosity of this very poor woman. He may just want to point out that what matters in the kingdom of God is not necessarily what matters on an accounting spreadsheet. It's not the size of the gift that matters. It's the heart with which it is given, the spirit with which it is given. And this woman gives her gift with great generosity. She is giving everything she has. And as Jesus always does, he's turning everything upside down. You may think that all of these others are the real generous ones, but the most generous one of them all is the one whose gift is nearly invisible. So it may just be a simple story about generosity. On the other hand, Jesus may be pointing to something else. He may be pointing out to his disciples the corruption and injustice inherent in this temple system, the way it's set up. It's a temple tax. It's an expectation that requires this widow to give everything she has to make her feel like she's doing what she's supposed to do. So which is it? Is it a story about this woman's generosity, or is it a story about the corrupt temple system that is exploiting people and their faith in God for the sake of their own good? In the verses that precede the story of the widow, Jesus is denouncing the scribes and talking about how they devour widows' houses, how they enjoy walking around in their fancy robes and having positions of status and the respect of the community, and they use that to devour widows' houses. And he says her gift has been given. She has given a generous gift, but then he says it's all she had to live on. Surely that's not right. Surely the temple and the faith community should be taking care of a destitute widow like this, not taking the last penny she has. So which is it? If we celebrate the generosity of the widow and don't look at the story from the other side, are we letting the scribes off the hook? Are we failing to denounce the corruption that brought this about in the first place? Or if we just focus on the system and the temple tax and the harm it's doing, are we undermining the great generosity of this widow who brings her gift wholeheartedly to God? Well, maybe, as is often the case with Jesus, it's not either or. Maybe it's both and. Yes, the temple is not perfect. Yes, the scribes, many of them are hypocritical. Yes, perhaps there is some exploitation happening here. The institution is not what it should be. But nevertheless, this woman comes and offers her gift for God's sake. Perhaps she does it out of love for God and out of hope for being part of building the kingdom of God as it should be. Maybe that's our calling too. As I pondered the story of this widow, I also came across another story this week that made me think of this generous woman in the story. Reverend Ratona Stokes Robinson is a pastor in another denomination, and she was appointed by her bishop to a church, and she showed up on July 1st to preach for the first time, and the doors of the church were locked to her. It seems this congregation didn't want a woman as a pastor, and so they locked the doors and refused to pay her salary. But nevertheless, every Sunday morning, well, all week long, She worked on a sermon. She studied the scriptures. She read her commentaries. She poured herself into writing a sermon that she felt was the word of God. And she showed up on the sidewalk right outside the church and preached with only her husband to hear her. This went on for weeks. On October 24th, 2 weeks ago, there was a delegation of women in ministry from that denomination in that area who came to hear Reverend Stokes Robinson preach. And they were surprised to find her locked out and standing on the sidewalk. Well, they did not let it pass, and they let it be known, and the story went viral. And so then the bishop came and asked for the keys of the church and told the congregation to pay her back salary. And last Sunday was the first time she preached from the pulpit of that church. So even though the institution was not welcoming her, even though the door was locked, she poured herself into the ministry she had been called to do, showing up week after week to preach and trusting that somehow God would use that and it would make a difference. And it has. As I look at this list of saints on our bulletin, I think about all of these saints who throughout their lives served institutions that were imperfect, that didn't always treat them the way they deserved to be treated, worked to change things, to make life better, when always there weren't good results. And yet they gave themselves day in and day out with hope and faith because of their love for God and their trust that God was at work bringing about the kingdom of God. I think about our beloved George Cate and how he served as a delegate to the United Methodist Church conferences and worked within that system to make our denomination better and more like the kingdom of God. I think about Dr. Sam Marnie and Dr. Michael Reed, who in their medical practices likely had patients who wouldn't take their advice, worked within systems that weren't always perfect, but they put healing and care as their calling and went to work day in and day out and offered what they had. I think about Sue Miller in that library at MBA, probably sometimes working with students who weren't interested in the research she was helping them with. And yet she served faithfully and gave her best, trusting that what she was doing was making a difference in their lives and in the life of the world. I think of all of these saints. I think of Reverend Stokes Robinson. I think of the poor widow in the temple. And I'm inspired. I'm inspired to work within whatever institutions I find myself, as imperfect as they are, as unjust as they can be at times, to make them better, to make them more just and more equitable and more welcoming. I feel inspired to give with extravagant generosity all of myself into the work that God is doing in the world and not worry so much about what gets recognized and what gets named and what gets celebrated. Not even worry so much about the differences that I'm making in the world, but to put my trust in the God of the poor widow, in the God of Reverend Stokes Robinson, in the God of all our saints, who is working even now and will continue to work when my candle is lighted to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks be to God for the saints whom we celebrate today. Amen.
As a people who remember the saints that have been among us and continue to be among us, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together in this historic affirmation of faith that generation after generation has recited together. It's found on 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers with our pastoral team this week, there are multiple ways to do that. If you are worshiping with us online, or even if you are here with us in person today and you would like to do that through the internet, you may follow the link under Contact Us on our website to leave prayer concerns there. Also, if you're worshiping with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you, and you may write prayer concerns on those and place them in the offering boxes that you may find in the narthex and in Reed Hall. This morning, we have several births to celebrate, as you see these beautiful roses up here on our altar table. First, we celebrate the birth of Jeffrey McClellan Mack Snyder, Jr., who was born October 20th to Jeff and Ann Clark Snyder. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Ann Blair Snyder, and grandparents, Karen and Mac Perkle. We also celebrate the birth of Laura Lee Riley, who was born November 3rd to Robert and Lindsay Riley. She is welcomed also by her big sisters, Sally Ann and Carolyn Riley, grandparents Rob and Laura Riley, and her aunt, uncle, and cousin, Carolyn, Matt, and Ruth von Lunen. Our prayers of sympathy are with J.L. Nave and Paul Cook this morning, as they are mourning the death of Paul's mother, Linda Reynolds. Services were held Friday, November 5th, in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Also, we were saddened yesterday to learn of the sudden death of our dear friend, Jackie Sojourner. Jackie was a retired elder in the United Methodist Church, an affiliate member here at West End United Methodist, and she also served as West End's church archivist, so we're going to miss her wealth of wisdom. We're still learning details, and we will share them when we have them. And Jackie will be our first saint to be named next year on All Saints Sunday. And now let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Most merciful God, we humbly beseech thee to receive these our prayers for the universal church, that thou wilt confirm it in the truth of thy holy faith, inspire it with unity and concord, and extend and prosper it throughout the world. We beseech thee also so to guide and strengthen the witness of the church to those in authority in all nations, that they may maintain the justice and welfare of all people. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all ministers of thy church, that both by their life and doctrine they may set forth thy true and lively word and faithfully administer the holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, that with willing heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Lord, to support and strengthen all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity.
Lord, we remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served thee in thy church on earth, who now rest from their labors. especially those most dear to us, whom we name before thee. Dorothy Wynne Biasi. Benjamin MacArthur Wade. Annette Dickinson Jane Pappas. George Harrison Kate Jr. Dorothy Boren Smith. Roland Leon Wall. Samuel Rowe Marney Jr. Alice Marie Gothard McClary. Orion Price Taylor. Elizabeth Henderson Wheeler. Sue Ann Collins Miller. William Otis Green III. Michael Christopher Reed. William Earl Gray Jr. Edith Smith Motes. Mary Emily Satterfield Blackburn. Nona Fort Smiley. Thomas William Estes Jr. Beth Johnson Allen. Martha Frank Clark. Glenna Dimple Franks. We remember also, O God, all those whose names remain in our hearts in this moment together. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at last with them to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our mediator and advocate, in whose name and love we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning. We recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us this morning, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. And for those of you worshiping in person, you may leave offering in the boxes in the narthex and in Reed Hall as you leave the sanctuary after the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of the ages, creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so, with your people on earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Be seated. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honor are yours, loving God, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, given to you, to all the sinners and the saints.
that we might know God's grace. This is the cup of salvation, the life of Christ poured into our lives that we might live out the love and grace of God today and always. The table is set, and all who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. Our host is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone is welcome. We will be receiving communion this morning a little bit more closely to the way we used to. We will invite you, if you feel comfortable doing so, to come forward, and we have folks who will be serving you these packets. They are gluten-free. The wafer's at the bottom and the juice is at the top. And we will invite you to kneel at the altar rails and share those if you would like, or you can return to your seats and receive them once you're back in your seats. If you would rather not come forward or unable physically to come forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary and be happy to serve you in your seats. If you do receive in your seats, there are receptacles at the end of each row where you can put your cup when you are finished. Always when we gather around the table, we have an opportunity to give a second mile offering to the missions of the church. The plates are here, or you may use the offering boxes in the back if you would like, or you can give online if you choose to do so. November's communion offering will support our ministry with Room in the Inn. Each winter, we provide food and hospitality to 14 men every Wednesday night. Your funds go to help support that ministry and prepare it and offer clothing and other needs for our friends who are living on the streets in this time. We invite those of you who are in the transepts and the balcony to come forward first, and then Brandon will be guiding all of us as we make our way forward to the table. Let us share in the grace that is offered at this table. I invite you now to rise in body or in spirit and let us give thanks for what we have received at this table. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, that we might shine the light of his love in this world. Amen.